Now, put those on later. Let me take a look at you guys. When I put these on, I can't see you guys far away. This is for my up-close reading. So anyway, how are you all today?
Good, Rob.
Feeling relaxed? Didn't get too amped up yet with the Christmas season? Good. You know what? I was expecting something on the one song that they sang about Jesus. Proclaim the name of Jesus. I was waiting for somebody to say, Jesus! Nobody said Jesus. So let's give one big Jesus. You ready? Because that's why we're all here. And that's what the season is all about. So since we missed it on that song, let's do it. One, two, three.
Jesus!
Wow. There you go. Didn't that feel good? It should have. All right. I haven't been at the second service for quite a while. Probably the last time I preached. But I have been worshiping with you at the first service. And I must say, I had a spiritual workout during this second service. I do in the first service as well, but it's different. But now I'm just sort of regrouping again after being, you know, taken. I don't know, God just takes a hold of your heart and he starts doing things with it. And I hope he does that with yours too, because it's a good feeling. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, feeling good, even in the wait. So it's great to be with you this morning and celebrate with you the Advent season, as we already heard. You see, Advent is this four-week season dedicated to reflective preparation for the arrival, the advent of Jesus' birth at this time, Christmas. And not only that, but it's also a time where we wait for Christ's expected return in the second coming as well. During this important event on our church calendar, each week of Advent focuses on a different theme, with hope, peace, joy, and love as a centerpiece for our Christmas season. Those are all good things, and today we're focusing on hope. Christians from all denominations and backgrounds celebrate Advent in different ways, but all focus on anticipation of the waiting for the arrival of Jesus. Now, there's something I want to point out here and repeat. And it's that period of waiting, okay? Remember that, period of waiting. And also, we'd like to share a four-letter word with you today, this morning, and it make you cringe a little bit, okay? So are you ready? Here it comes, wait. Wasn't so bad, was it? Only if you're in the wait, that's when it gets bad. How many of us like to wait for anything these days? That's what I thought, no hands raised. Nobody likes to wait. Especially me, for the traffic light to turn green after sitting there for what seems longer than 60 seconds. That's not a lot of time. And then when the light snaps green, that car in front of you is busy on the texting somebody and doesn't see it, and you have to wait a little longer. You ever been there? That's aggravating. But you have to wait. And again, wait at the checkout at the grocery store. The thing I'm thankful for is now they have self-check, you know, and that's really helpful. But like yesterday at Target, the self-check had a longer line than the other group. I mean, what's going on here? The self-check's even full. The whole point is, our life is a wait, wait, wait. And that's exactly where we are going, heading in today's message for the start of the Advent season. However, what I found is something. There's something in the wait. If we don't focus on just what's before us and focus for what is ahead of us, then we start getting what the wait is all about. Now, waiting is nothing new, and today's message shines a light on extreme waiting and the measure of strength and faith that it requires in the wait. See, in the wait, some lose hope, but others seek the strength of the Lord and soar on eagle's wings. Let's pray before we get into the message. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day of hope, this day of preparation, and yes, this day of wait. Father, we ask that we can be patient in the wait, that you will show us and tell us what we need in the wait and what we should be doing in that time of waiting. God, during that time of wait, we may get weary, but we ask you for the strength to get through it and take us to the other side. So God, for anyone here who is patiently waiting for an answer to a prayer, God, just give them that answer, or just have them wait for that answer. But in the wait is the answer. So God, be with us all as we go through this day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, there's a little fella about waiting that, there he is, in the wait. Some of you guys that are from the old school, you know who this is, from the Little Rascals. This is Spanky. I didn't have room for alfalfa, but this gave it an idea of how it is to wait. You know, you're going like this. I've done it. I might even did that, you know, all that stuff. But let's be honest. Waiting can wear us down. Sure, those small things in life we wait for, not so bad. But what about those big things that seem like the wait is taking forever? And our desperation in wait is zapping us of our strength and faith in its resolve. That's where we find God's chosen people in today's message. You see, they are again, the Israelites are again in exile from the Assyrian armies that have taken control of things, and the Babylonians who are breathing down their neck, they are now in that state of exile and looking for God to come into their lives. The Israelites are waiting and hoping for God to yet again rescue them from their demise. They're waiting in prayerful expectations for the coming of the Messiah. You see, the remnants of God's chosen people are starting to look back and remembering God's past gracious actions on their behalf and leading them out of bondage in Egypt. So 3 months into their journey, God speaks to Moses, as we read in Exodus 19, 3 through 6. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I had done to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me in a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." God held them up in special honor and praise. They were his people. And here we are again in exile. Something happened along the way. Somebody didn't keep up their end of the bargain there. See, I'm recalling God's awesome glory and strength in leading them through the desert and away from Pharaoh and providing for their every need, their strength was restored in that instance. Recalling this act of grace and based on many other instances in their journey as God's chosen people, they called for God to once again come to their rescue. They found strength of faith and trust regained in God in the wait. And as they waited for deliverance from their present predicament, God heard their voices again and said to Isaiah in chapter 40, verses 28 through 30. It's up there on the screens, or you can look it up. But do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Great news for all of us. And it was good for me to hear that the young grow weary too. It's not just me, people my age and older. Everyone grows weary. You see, even though they neglected the divine presence of God in their lives, God continued to reach out to them. Isn't that pretty sweet? He does that with us too. We may forget about him, but he never forgets about us. We're his kids. You forget about your children? No. He doesn't forget about his either. When they were down and out, God lifted them up. God helped them to dream again and not let present circumstances chart their path in life for the future. He lifted them up, set their sights on him, and in their wait, he gave them time to get their vision corrected and focused on him and their priorities in order, placing God first in their lives. See, there was something to do in the wait. Our hope is in the Lord as well. When we are tired and weary, and the wait seems to have no end, we must keep our faith in the Lord, no matter what. You see, the wait makes us weak in body, mind, and spirit. But God is with us in the wait. We only need to look to God for our strength. And never, 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 one more time, give up hope. You see, God is always at the ready. He does not get tired or weary. This means he is never overwhelmed by life's challenges like we may be. And that's a good thing. His batteries are always charged when ours are depleted. We can plug into him and our power will be restored. You see, God recognizes there will be times in our lives where we will grow tired and be weary and weak. But you see, God doesn't condemn us for this. He instead offers us a solution. The solution is a place of a hope, our hope in him. When we do, We get to tap into his endless reservoir of strength and power. You can rest assured, for in God's strength, we will discover all you need to be strong in the face of life's adversities. Wherever you are today, wherever you are, don't stop hoping in the Lord. For that is the only way to renew your strength. We find hope and strength in the wait. Remembering not to rush the season. This is an important thing here. Remember not to rush the season of wait, but to build up your strength during that time so we can soar on eagle's wings above the storm clouds of life. That time of wait, there's a purpose for that. It's a time of hope. It's a time of renewal. And it's waiting on God's time to send you on your way. There is strength and power in the wait. And as you see with the eagle on the screen, why the eagle as a symbol of God's strength? Well, I think it's pretty obvious, right? I mean, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? If you ever seen one, you know what I mean. They're all around Middle Creek and things like that. They're so beautiful. About 5-6 foot wingspan. I mean, gosh, that is a beautiful bird. And one of God's creations. Personally, anytime I see an eagle soaring through the sky, it stops me in my tracks. No matter where I am. Even driving, I'll pull over. It's better that way. But when there's been times when I didn't. But aren't they magnificent to watch? And I watch it with great awe. And that awe that we have in watching that beautiful eagle that represents God is the same awe and strength that we see in God in these passages of scriptures today. It is the strength and beauty of those open wings powering the magnificent eagle through the sky and above the clouds where the sun always shines. This imagery of an eagle conveys the idea of God lifting his people above their troubles and carrying them to safety. In ancient Near Eastern cultures, the eagle was a symbol of divine protection. And today, it is as well. So next time you get a glimpse of that, take a few seconds and just think of God while that bird soars overhead. See, many of you have firsthand knowledge of how God has lifted you up on eagle's wings and restored your strength and hope in him. I do. Now I, as a pastor, found you can get pretty busy and caught up in the rigors associated with ministry. Most of them are pretty good. And a lot of them are good. But there was a time when I didn't do a good job of taking care of myself. We all may have an issue with that. It's easier to take care of others. It's a little harder to take care of yourself. I was busy taking care of others' needs, and didn't realize the accumulated effect it was having on me. With each passing day, the load got increasingly heavier, and my energy was depleted as the days and weeks went on. Instead of asking for help, who does that? I continued as business as usual, carrying a load until my strength, mentally, physically, and spiritually, began to strain under the pressure. Finally, out of desperation, I sat down and had a chat with God. God had a solution. Imagine that. God had a solution for me. First off, I finally took time out and realized that he was waiting to hear from me all the time, the whole time, so I had to get in my head. But the solution was hope and strength in the Lord. The solution was just seeking it and listening to what you were given. Hope, wait, strength in the Lord, renewed strength. Well, you know what I did next? I hopped on, and he carried me on those eagle wings and restored my strength in his time, not mine, in his time. But it was in the wait where I learned a lot about him and about me. And that's where you'll find yourself in the wait as well. You see, there is strength in numbers as well. Only loneliness is one, and I found that out as I was researching today's message. And I use this one Bible verse, and it's on the screen right now. Sometimes in weddings that I do. But there it is. It's about strength. It tells you right here. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You see, you don't need to get where I was. You just got to prepare a little better. So you got twined with God. Your rope will be unbreakable when you add him as the third strand with your friend or your spouse, whoever else is woven in to that rope. God got to be that strand, third strand. And you will have an unbreakable rope, an unbreakable power, an unbreakable strength. But you got to realize it and protect it. You can have renewed strength. You can get an eagle's view. You can run with endurance. You can walk without fatigue. Boy, I like to do that. But it's with God that we do that. Remember, in the wait, there is work to be done. Not just the time to do this. The old twiddle thumbs, can you do that? I hope not too much. No, it's a time to pray. It's a time to dive into the Word of God, where you will find him, and find that renewed strength that comes through God to those who trust and place their faith in him. One more thing. You heard it before. I say it again. I'll probably say it one more time. Don't rush the wait. The reason I tell you that is God knows when it's time to fly again. He'll let you know. Don't rush the wait. You'll crash and burn. Wait for God to renew your strength and restore you till you're ready to fly again. You see, as the Israelites were waiting for the strength and power of the Lord to rescue them in today's message, in a similar way, the church during Advent looks back upon the coming of Jesus in the celebration of Christmas, while at the same time, we're waiting and looking forward in eager anticipation to the second coming of Christ our Lord and the kingdom of God. when he returns for us. So what are you doing in the wait? Hopefully something, because he is coming. He's coming back to collect his children. So again, I ask you, what are you doing in the wait? We have strength in the Father who watches over us. And that's a bird's eye view of our daily walk with Jesus. Try not to get too discouraged or depressed when life throws you a curveball, because it will. It's tough. I know it. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. But there is power and strength in the wait. If we share it with the Lord and with each other and seek His strength to power us through it. Those curveballs in life are just grace growers. They help us grow. So look at them that way. It makes it a little better. I'm sure there's many folks or a few folks here today who have been dealing with an illness for a long time. Depression, homelessness, employment, whatever the case may be. I'm here to tell you today, in the wait there is hope, and in the hope there is strength in the Lord. You got to draw near to Him and realize that He's there waiting for you so you can plug in and renew your strength. If He is for you, who can stand against you? Nobody. Nobody can do that. God is almighty. We are His kids. He's going to protect us forever. In Isaiah, I'd like to go back to that again, Isaiah 30 and 31. I'd just like to repeat this in closing. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Man, that is a beautiful thing. Our strength will be restored no matter what age you are. This week, I encourage you to write this passage down somewhere, or cut it out, whatever you do, but do something with it. Post it on your refrigerator or wherever you see it, your bathroom mirror, whatever, wherever you see it daily, and read it. And then pray over it. And if you really, your strength has been zapped, ask God to renew it. But remember not to rush the wait. That will be a mistake. Wait on God. So as I end today's message, I'd just like to share with you to soar on eagle's wings and let God take us above the clouds where the sun always shines. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for anyone in here who's been waiting a long time for something to happen in their lives, God, I just ask that if it's time, to let them know that it's time, that the wait is over, and that they can soar like eagles on eagles' wings. God, we know You love us so much, and during this time of Advent, we just look for the hope of Jesus to surround us all, and also the joy and the love of Jesus to combat those things that bring us down and to lift us up on those wings of eagles. So God, thank You for loving us no matter what. You love us, and we thank You for the love of Jesus who we celebrate on this Christmas time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.